You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
This is the alternative media, exposing government corruption, defending our suspended constitution, demanding the rights of we the people, broadcasting the truth. The puppet media dare not report. Long live liberty and death to the new world order. Prepare yourself. This is the alternative media.
We're back for hour two of the alternative media, folks. Saturday, June 19th, 2021. Richard Carey, guest host, filling in for Farron Schoaf. And I'm here with co-host Jeremy from Kentucky today. And Jeremy, I guess what I was alluding to is that these people aren't really concerned with whether or not America can win any more wars. It's more about changing the culture and destabilizing the society, and so the military is fulfilling a slightly different role, and it, of course, it seems like if anything, they want their focus to be more inward. You know, domestic terrorism. Now suddenly, you know, the military can be perhaps used on the people is eventually the direction. They'd like to take things. But you notice so many of these phrases are just mentioned repeatedly. They don't even like to define them that often. But yes, systematic racism is certainly one of those. And January 6th, George Floyd, these are the sort of things which are supposed to justify. And you're not supposed to ever question those narratives, of course. This article on the linking of these different agendas is pretty interesting. The American Coalition for Sustainable Communities, ACSC, has issued a new report, Critical Race Theory and Climate Change, How Government is Stealing the American Dream and How to Stop It. The counter-narrative developed by the government, nonprofits, and health agencies in the country. Why should people care? Americans need to understand what is going on so they debate the issue. Though convoluted, the issues are not hard to understand. According to nonprofit groups, the narrative of the George Floyd trial has highlighted deeper concerns of health disparities in people of color due to racism and exposure to the environment. I'm going to cash in on as many catchphrases of the agenda as possible with these. You know, the solution to this is health equity. You know, we've already heard about this. You know, hospitals that are prioritizing people of color. COVID pandemic relief to farmers, but only if you're a farmer of color. And if, you know, it's just kind of broadening affirmative action with all this government spending. And of course, the last role of any subversive force when a nation's entering the dust bowl of history, the dustbin of history, is to loot the nation, right? On April 8th, 2021, Rochelle P. Walensky, MD, MPH, director of the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, CDC, declared racism a serious public health threat. She stated that people have, and this is all, you know, at the top privately controlled. We know, like, Bill Gates, for one, is one of the chief players. We know about patents, invested interest in very nefarious ways related to COVID of CDC, just as a side note. But she stated that people have been infected by COVID-19 and that across the country, people are suffering. However, those painful experiences and the impact of COVID-19 are felt most severely, in communities of color, where the social impact of the pandemic has been most extreme. The idea racism is a public health crisis is a confluence of environmental justice and critical race theory. Both seek to redistribute wealth through equity. The argument is that racism from the past is still here today, therefore it is systemic. Systemic racism applies to people of color. So, according to critical race theorists, since most people of color are poor, poverty is structural, embedded, institutionalized, and systemic requirement to maintain capitalism's efficacy, it is an ongoing outcome of hegemony, patriarchy, and a capitalistic economic structure. Health agencies and health departments across America have been given extraordinary emergency powers during the COVID-19 pandemic. Therefore, they have the ability to promote political agendas and influence public policy. By deeming racism a public health crisis, racism and health equity have been thrust front and center to argue increased subsidies for minorities and undocumented populations. And they have some bullet points. But yeah, it's so much of the same rhetoric drilling these concepts, these phrases into your head here. The report provides a brief historical perspective of how climate change solutions under environmental justice intercede with policy. The report shows how these solutions are embedded in local cities, counties, and our international climate change solutions influence work at the local level to build consensus for national policy changes. The report examines the genesis, racism as a public health crisis mantra, and the resolutions that inspire them. Identified are the conditions that fomented them. Critics of resolutions are presented as case studies, critiques rather, of resolutions. And critical race theory is addressed in how it is being used by government, local nonprofit corporations, and higher education to accentuate environmental justice in order to codify health equity. So health equity, I never knew, I mean, I could never have predicted that in our lifetime, the social engineering could get ramped up with so many, cross-benefiting agendas and groups, Jeremy. I mean, it's just clown world on steroids. Your thoughts? Yeah,
that article you're reading from is right there on Republic Broadcasting website. It's a very good read, and you can sort of get the picture in mind now how really all of these things are used to attack. I mean, the COVID lockdown certainly attacked the wealth of Americans and Europeans. And I guess if the goal is to knock out small businesses, bring everybody down onto some sort of basic income and basic healthcare level, bring them down to third world standards and bring the third world up a bit. I mean, that's exactly how they're justifying this and how they're saying that the CDC of all places, that racism is the biggest public health threat. I mean, my goodness. But yeah, that's exactly what they're talking about. It's the bringing down. And this individual, this that you mentioned in the article, Walensky, so I went and I looked up her bio and I smashed that early life. And she was born to, Rochelle Paula Bursoff in Massachusetts to Edward Bursoff and, wait for it, Carol Bursoff Bernstein. And nothing explicitly says that they were Jewish in there, but those are definitely Jewish names. So I'm calling Jewish on that one. Miss Walensky. And yeah, look at her picture. It's just a caricature, right? Like it's a merchant meme caricature.
Mm-hmm. And then if there's, if there are other agendas worth mentioning, if there's a, an important component we've left out today, it could be the transhumanism more than anything, because we've been hearing a lot of promotion of this. The World Economic Forum seems to be the biggest mouthpiece of these people. And, it's interesting how in your face, they'll try to get. They pulled down that one, reference, though, from their website saying, in 2030, you will own nothing and you will be happy.
Yeah.
I don't know why, what compels them to put it up in the first place and thinking that they wouldn't get the sort of reaction they did. Did they expect it would just be like their own people, their inside crowd mostly, who would see it and just laugh? Look how we're treating the goy and leaving it right out there in the open for them to see. You know, just like all this predictive programming or people talk about events shown in advance in television, films, cartoons, and such. But why would they put it up in the first place? And if they didn't expect that sort of reaction is a bit fascinating to me.
Testing the waters, seeing what they can get away with, you know. Yeah. But as far as the transhumanism, I mean, this sort of goes into also minimum wage and what we saw happen when I think California, McDonald's went to that. All of a sudden you had kiosks popping up because that's cheaper than paying employees $15 an hour, kiosks and McDonald's. So I think and I heard this mentioned on RBN by one of the shows. It was either yours or Patrick's, one of your guests. Y'all were talking about how that when they depopulate the Earth, when they do get this goal of 75% depopulation, most likely through vaccines, deaths, and sterilization, that's probably what they're going to do over a long-term process. But they're just going to replace their lower-grade workers with machines. I mean, there's your transhumanism. There is an aspect we could talk about how the DNA-altering so-called vaccines mess with your body, and how, you know, your body could interact differently than with the new food that they're putting out, this fake meat and bugs and all of that. And you could even get into, you know, are the vaccines injecting, you know, nano whatever's in your body to interact with 5G? That's a little deep for me, but I think at the surface, at face value, we can see that definitely as human populations are going down, our quality of life is going to get worse and the elites are going to get better. And they're just going to maintain their quality of life with machines that replace us. I think that's more what I'm thinking of when I think of transhumanism. The melding of machine and man in the workforce. Maybe even.
Right.
Yeah, we got you, Richard.
Yeah, as far as the reducing, though, automation, reducing of a lot of jobs to automation, we have that coming in certain sectors, and more of an interconnected, a forced streamlining, so people can know everything that everyone's consuming, purchasing, partaking in electronically, and the surveillance, of course. But as far as the merging, like you say, with man and machine, I have to wonder if those in significant positions of power and influence, wealth, expect that if they were willing to get implants or whatever, we'll say, would they be able to make sure that no one would affect them, be able to manipulate them, do some sort of mind control or affecting their thought patterns? Could they actually believe they'd be in a separate tier and that they could trust their peers, even, you have to wonder. But certainly for the rest of us, it seems, I hate to split things along political lines, but it seems like there's a lot more from the far left, a lot more trust, and COVID has shown us this, and the shots, these DNA altering shots. But in general, people who trust those in power and believe they're looking out for their best interests, and I guess these are the people first in line, and unfortunately that could include a lot of our youth who can be naive enough to believe that. It looks like we do have and it could be an interesting time to add another person's input, transhumanism being the topic. We have a latecomer joining us, Jeremy. We have William Repillum on the air with us. Hello, William.
Hey, Richard. How are you?
Good, good. Yeah, here with co-host Jeremy from Kentucky today. We're just hashing it out for Farron in his absence. And yeah, glad to have you aboard, William.
Yeah. Was just on the show with Jeremy on Thursday night.
Yeah, no, I did listen. Yeah. Go on.
Awesome. Yeah, transhumanism. So I'm just jumping in the conversation, and yeah, this has been a big topic. Definitely, it's no longer a conspiracy theory. I was watching a Microsoft video last night. They're open about it. They're talking. It was really creepy. Let me find it and send it to you. It's just a few minutes long, and it's just engineers that are talking about and showing diagrams of adding another DNA strand to your DNA. It's really, really creepy looking. So you have a double helix, and then you have another helix going down. It's in gray in color that's binding to that helix, that double helix. And it's the creepiest thing I've ever seen in my life, I think, especially the look in the engineer's eyes. You can see the demons kind of coming out of these engineers as they talk about doing this. And it's really disgusting. And it's really not human. And you just got to wonder if these people are even human themselves. They just have no compunction for for what this actually means. It's just, I don't know. I kind of see when, I don't know, it's maybe it's just a gift or something. I don't know what you call it. But when people talk, and you can kind of see the demons coming out. Like, I don't know, the way the guy's teeth looked while he was talking about doing these things. And I had visions of it was like I had little flashes of the movie Alien. And you know, that thing that comes out of the stomach and then it opens its mouth and another monster comes out of that one. Well, that's what I saw coming out of this guy talking about what they were doing with this science. And the other guy, the look in his eyes was unbelievably evil while he was talking about this stuff. So you know, I think it, for me personally, this is God telling us that, look, you guys have forsaken me, and you need to get back into real prayer and not forget that I rule the universe, because I'm letting you see how evil it can get. And don't, you know, let it continue on anymore.
I would wholeheartedly agree with that, that this, what we're witnessing, if you're a Christian from a spiritual perspective, this is just God's judgment. I mean, it's God allowing the countries of the world to reap what they have sown in the last 70 years of just complete moral degeneracy that has wrecked these, you know, Europe and America, who at one time were beacons of Christianity and good moral values. So yeah, and it's interesting too. I wonder. I heard a medical person talking on this point. Are the COVID vaccines also conditioning your immune system to turn on the body's own organs? And this could be another way of depopulation, shorter lifespans, more susceptible to just regular diseases that you would normally be able to shake off. Normal colds could kill you, sort of like AIDS.
Yes, I was reading about that too. I can very much believe that to be the case. When you tamper with the DNA strands, I mean, just like, what is it, just like a tiny percentage we know about the human brain. The same goes for DNA, and it's storing information for many different unrelated parts of the human body, Homo sapien instructions. You know, I mean, it's not just for any thing that, okay, you can identify a certain component, perhaps can affect this or that when they tinker. And they get lucky here and there, and then try to apply it. In these cases, with these shots, whatever they're trying to do to these mostly unknowing participants, but they have no idea how many other things they're affecting. It's arrogant to think otherwise. And the people speaking out, yeah, I mean, I'd say, how could it not do exactly what you say, Jeremy? It looks like we have a caller. We'll take the call after the break, because it should be there it is. All right, stick around, folks, and if you want to call in as well, 512-248-8252. We'll be right back.
Oh. Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets. Even with a growing audience every day, RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
As a listener of RBN, you're surely concerned about being informed and being ready for whatever may come. Please consider the following questionnaire as a soul-jarring wake-up call. If you answer no to more than two of these following questions, you probably aren't going to make it through any major disruption in our country. The questions were compiled by people that have been there. Are you really ready? Do you own your own firearm for the primary defense and protection of you and your loved ones? Have you ever been professionally trained to stand against life-threatening behavior? Have you ever practiced enough to fire 500 rounds during a 2 to 4 day time frame, day and night? Can you load, unload, fire, and clear a jam in total darkness? Have all the adults in your household been professionally trained? Are you, life and death, comfortable with your abilities with pistol, revolver, shotgun, and rifle? Are you aware that everything that you do to prepare for an emergency is a waste of time, money, and energy? If you haven't honed your abilities to their highest level to protect and keep what you have? Do you have the repair parts that will most likely be needed for each of your firearm, and do you have the ability to install those parts? Could you completely clean every firearm you own? Are you aware that your body won't go where your mind hasn't been? In other words, without proper training, followed by regular practice, you probably will not win a gunfight. Well, how did you measure up? Take the once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to start correcting your deficiencies by receiving your Commander Lifetime Membership with Front Sight Firearms Training Facility. A one-time donation to RBN for $500 will give you a Commander Lifetime Membership at Front Sight as a tremendously huge thank you bonus. See details on RBN's webpage to make it happen. The clock is ticking. You had better be ready before it happens.
And we're back. I'm the Alternative Media, folks. Richard Carey filling in for Farron Schoaf, here with co-host Jeremy from Kentucky. And we also have co-host William Repillum now here with us. We have a caller on the line, Joe. Joe in Indiana, you're on the air.
Hi, good morning, gentlemen. Rich, Jeremy, William. Just a few points, couple of points. I won't take up a lot of time. I don't know how many callers you have, but the point that you brought up about the military, about shooting upon the citizens, this goes way back. I was active duty at the time, and knew people quite involved in upper levels, and they were giving exams or test questions to the branches of the military, especially the Marine Corps and the Army, and it was about would you shoot upon fellow citizens during gun confiscations and stuff like that. And one of the contacts I had for the Marines mentioned that the word came back that the Marines had scored in the high 90th percentile of they wouldn't do it. They wouldn't do anything like that. And already at that time, there was kind of a purge taking place. They were trying to weed out the Vietnam-era military guys. Needless to think, we get this impression that the Vietnam era were rebellious or whatever, but a lot of these guys remember, they're from that 1950s generation, very patriotic and really pro-military. So, you know, it was kind of odd that they would be wanting to weed those fellas out. That's my first point. So be aware that this has been going on a long time, and they wanted to change that. And that's my take from my analysis talking to people. That's why they want these namby-pamby type people coming into the military. They're very manipulative. Like, you know, if they've done studies and you've seen them done among homosexual communities or transgenders, they just don't have a problem. And ironically, it's sad to say, women too have more of a tendency to obey orders. And that goes back to the Nazi era and the Bolshevik era when, sorry for the shortness, but I'm on the trail with my dogs. But they found in studies that women did obey orders, even in the concentration camps and stuff, more so than men would. You know, the men seem to have more of a conscience. I'm not trying to paint with a broad brush, but that's kind of a general consensus. Number two, this whole business of using race to change governments and change agendas goes way back. I remember in the 80s, there was a journal, Spotlight or whatever, and another one that I was reading. And at the time, Rhodesia was the test ground. And that's when Ian Smith was the president of that country, and they did all this. They did exactly what's happening in the United States. Then they went to South Africa, did the same thing with the Nelson Mandela and all this kind of stuff. Never dreaming this would happen in the United States, but and then it was brought to Europe, and they flooded Europe. I have relatives in the Carabinieri in Italy, and they tell me about all this stuff, how for a while they were letting these migrants come in, but when they started really tearing up Rome, and I'd been there a number of times, they put their foot down because it was affecting tourism. These migrants, these Somalians, like you brought up a little earlier, gosh, they just have no moral compass. They would go up and down the streets, smashing windows, stealing food. And the Italians will only put up with so much. So there is, I just want you to know, there is pushback. Like right now, the naval Carabinieri, yeah, what they do is they hook up these the boats that come in, and they actually drag them back to North Africa. So there is, and the Italians realize they've lost a lot of revenue. But those are my two main points. But any comments on that? Hello?
Joe. Joe, can you hear me?
Well, I can hear you now.
Oh, good. Okay. Yeah, thanks a lot. That was a really great, those are great comments. I agree with 95% of everything you said. The only thing that came up for me was you mentioned the word Nazi. I wanted to ask you, do you believe that Hitler and the Germans carried out a Holocaust against Jews, of 6 million Jews?
No, I'll baldly tell you, I don't believe the numbers. And you even have people that are in prominent media, you know, Jewish too, that don't buy into it. The numbers just don't support it. I think there was some issue, you know, and it's hard for me to, I know there were abuses, there's abuses and anything like that. And I think the numbers are just way, way over the top. If you look at population numbers, you look post-war, pre-war, whatnot, concentration camps, really statistics, because I'm sure you guys are following this. I know in Auschwitz, they revised the numbers all the time of how many were executed. And you know, I've been in those places. I was an exchange student behind the Iron Curtain. I went to Buchenwald and a number of these places, and some of it looked a little engineered to me. A lot of the buildings didn't quite fit the area, that kind of thing. But no, not really. I think.
Have you ever watched David Cole's video on this, where he goes back there in 1992 and he documents sort of the different claims that they make? Goes around.
No,
have you seen that video by David Cole? Let's get him that video.
No, I never heard of him.
Richard, if we can.
I'll have to look him up.
We have the bottom of the hour break. We can hold you over if you like, Joe.
Yeah.
Yeah, just one other thing I wanted to mention.
Great. All right, we'll be right back, folks.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
He Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we have been building our online store. Well, we have been focusing on bringing you the best talk show host in the country. Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we also want our listeners to have products they can use every day and in times of emergency. We have added new products each week to our store. Your support of this network, plus products at the best prices, is a win-win situation. Check out our new store. Go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org, and click on the online store located at the top of our website. Together, we can continue to grow RBN and help our listeners prepare for the future. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our online store or call us.
800-724-2719, extension 3. 800-724-2719, extension 3.
Hey, honey, I'm home. I grabbed a newspaper on the way home. Look at all the news today.
Don't you know that all you're going to get in the newspaper is propaganda, twisted news, and false information?
Honey, this is a national newspaper. It has to be true.
Ha! For some reason, the majority of the population believe anything the mainstream media tells them. The newspaper doesn't give out the important attention of what's happening to this country and news that affects our daily lives. Say, does that newspaper mention anything about the North American Union?
No, not that I can see.
I didn't think so. You need to go to www.newswithviews.com, where truth is more important than political correctness. That's www.newswithviews.com. Hey, don't throw that away. We can use that in the birdcage.
Okay, move over. Let me start reading newswithviews.com.
The truth? Read all about it at newswithviews.com. Newswithviews.com, where reality shatters illusion.
Extendivite 7-herb formulation is approved to help maintain cardiovascular health and help lower blood lipid levels in adults. Extendivite is made from hawthorn, garlic, valerian, cayenne, bilberry, ginkgo biloba, and milk thistle. The herbs in Extendivite have been chosen for their ability to help with overall health. Many people have reported improved energy and stamina in just a few months. If you think you could feel just a little bit better, then Extendivite may just be for you. Extendivite is an all-natural supplement. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Back, folks. The alternative media, Richard Carey filling in for Farron Schoaf, here with co-host Jeremy from Kentucky, and we have co-host William Rep Pillum joining us here today as well. We're on the line with Joe in Indiana, and before you mention your additional point, Joe, let me see if Jeremy or William, have any more feedback for you?
Yeah, real quick, in regards to the so-called gassing of mass gassing, you can look up the Leucher Report, L-E-U-C-H-T-E-R, and when the German historian Ernst Zundel was in Canada, he was charged with Holocaust denial, and he hired Leucher to do a forensic analysis of Auschwitz, in which Leucher's report concluded that there's no way it could have been a mass gas extermination chamber. I mean, the mechanical issues were no seals on the doors, gaps under the doors, wooden doors, no seals on the light bulbs, no pipes to deliver or remove the gas. And also he did chemical analysis. And so really all the court could do was try to blow holes in his chemical analysis, and the court denied Leucher the ability to be an expert witness. So, but you can look that up, and there's a reason why these, you know, camps were never forensically examined nor bodies exhumed. That's because they know what they're going to find, which is that it's not feasible. So then when the one guy, Letcher, did that, they totally tried to just blow hose in it. But you would think if it was such a solid case that instead of blowing hose in Letcher, they would get like 10 or 15 of their own forensic scientists to go out there, but they didn't do that. So there's one thing you can look up. And then in regards to will the military turn on the public, I mean, I think we saw this in the late 1950s after in 54 when the Supreme Court declared that segregation was unconstitutional. You had the incident in Little Rock where the governor had ordered the National Guard in Little Rock to maintain peace by not allowing in the black students. And then the president went ahead and nationalized the Guard, and the Guard at gunpoint desegregated the schools. And you can say what you want about segregation, whether it was good or bad. But my point is it went against the will of the people. And the federal government overpowered the state and went against the will of the people at gunpoint. And that was in a military in the 1950s that was a lot more based and probably traditional than ours is today. So what would ours do today? That's kind of a point there. Go ahead, guys.
That's the interesting question today, because this goes back, my knowledge goes back to, because I knew people that were aware of these tests and that sort of thing, especially in the Marine Corps and the Army. I was Air Force, so we were getting somewhat these diversity things where they'd bring a fella in, you know, they made the mistake of bringing a sergeant, and I'm not insulting anybody, it was a sergeant, but they brought a sergeant and a black sergeant, put up a Confederate flag, and they wanted to get reactions out of people. And you know, I know my brother was part, you know, was in one of those meetings, and he was an officer at the time. Most of his men under his command were Southerners, and he played that beautifully. I'd have embarrassed the fella, you know, because basically, you all know the history on RBN. I, you know, like it's a battle flag, and the whole thing about racism is a setup. That's what I believe, and I'm not a Southerner. I mean, I, you know, grew up with Southern people, but, and I've done my research on the Confederate flag, and it's ridiculous, and I have a very healthy skepticism. You know, I was brought up in a scientific background, that sort of thing. So I have an open mind, just like this, just like when Rich was mentioning earlier about, you know, Holocaust and stuff. There's just, sure, there's abuses in a brutal Eastern campaign, but they don't tell you about the Russians, how brutal they were and all the pogroms going on. I know people personally, and one in particular who's a friend of mine, his mom was part of one of those pogroms after the war. They were German Croatians, and she was 5 years old at the time, and the communists, murdered her relatives and stuff. They were murdering Germans, and the same thing was going on in those Eastern, you know, there were a lot of Germans that had settled in the Russian lands in Poland and that sort of thing, and they were just murdered. I mean, it's something like 2 million Germans overall were murdered. Then they stuffed the rest of them into what was left of Germany after the war. So I'm aware of stuff like that. I've done my research because I've encountered a lot of propaganda. But my other point is I really appreciate RBN. You guys, I'm in a medical field, and my education on this jab is primarily through RBN. And the information that you've disseminated, I cannot tell you how informative you all have been. Articulating it, referring, you know, like the Sherry Tenpennies and Merritts. Unfortunately, it's so sad for me to see friends and fellow colleagues in medicine, you know, not really aware of what this thing is, or really believing it's just a vaccine. You know, my ears were perked up in the beginning because traditionally, I'm traditionally trained, and what really is a vaccine, but you guys articulate everything, you do your research, and I can't tell you how you've been so instrumental, because I think I've saved part of my family. I mean, I have relatives that have caved in, but my immediate family, they will not. I've educated my kids, and we have stand firm. We have fought against the system. I have a daughter at St. Mary's, which is next to Notre Dame. I have a son at Notre Dame. We went to bat, and we pushed back, and we have other people that are on board. We do it. So there is pushback. I don't want people to get bummed out and think, oh, the system is, because Notre Dame and St. Mary's went and openly announced, oh, you're not going to be able to start in the fall unless you have the shot. And I'm the type that says, no way. And when you push back hard enough and you got information, and you got to be careful how you talk. I mean, we have attorney friends too, but you got to let them know you got a little power behind you. And so far, so good. You know, we've done it. And my kids will be going back in the fall. But anyway, that's my point. I don't want to gobble up all your time, but you guys are great. I listen to your programs, believe it or not, on and off whenever I get a chance. Jeremy, you keep me up late at night. I get up really early in the morning, but I like your show a lot. Especially your biblical scriptures and things. You've really educated me on that. Both of you guys, Rich too. I love Rich too. And when I could catch his program during my lunch break. But anyway, gentlemen, have a great day. Thanks for a great service that you provide. I'm telling you, I hope there's a lot of RBNers listening. You have no idea how your audience is so educated because of you guys.
Well, thank you, Joe, for so many kind words.
Before he goes, can I just give him a couple references, a couple more things?
Sure.
There were just a couple things about the camps as well. I just wanted to add to Jeremy's points that he made, just great points that he articulated there. They were also cut out those holes in the top that they supposedly said they threw Zyklon B gas on Jews in supposed gas chambers that weren't even sealed up and made no sense at all scientifically. They cut those out afterwards, and friends of Jack Piper, who was the head of the running the camp back in, or, you know, managing the Disneyland situation that they have there at Auschwitz, told David Cole that they cut those holes out later afterwards, and that was all for show. And then I wanted to refer a couple of you to a website. It's called CODOH.com, and you can find so much information there about the Holocaust. It's pretty much dedicated to that. It's CODOH.com. If you could check that out, and then look into Lorraine Day. She's a ex-surgeon from San Francisco General Hospital who is so red-pilled, like probably the most, she's like on my top three or four to five people that I like to listen to. Just knows so much about all of this. Just wanted to let you know about that. And thanks so much for your call, Joe. Really appreciate it.
Yeah, all very kind words. Thank you. Much appreciated, Joe. Next we have Wolverine Fred on the air. Hello, Wolverine.
Hey, that's me. Ursula Haverbeck. Jeremy probably knows the name. Ursula Haverbeck. Right?
Yep. Yes, I'm familiar.
What's her status presently? I've lost track. As of a year ago, she was apparently incarcerated for the third or fourth time. She's like 90, 92. And her crime against the Yambao HaSatanic Talmudic Kabbalah Holy Serpent Semanites was that she dared to review the data from her perspective, right, to disprove the so-called radical Holocaust denier extremists regarding their declarations of data. She ultimately proved it was mathematically impossible, even with today's incineration technology, to have done what the holy God Gad Hasatan's chosen spawn have adamantly declared absolute fact. So if it were really true that it happened in reality, and the vast majority of people believe that, then why not just blow her off as some sort of a wacko, you know, elderly Alzheimer woman? I think they have vilified her as the Nazi grandmother. So you have that, and who was it? George Patton, General Patton, was assigned as the governor, the military governor in Germany in, May of 45, something like that. And they ultimately ordered him to forcibly evict all the German homeowners so as to provide appropriate shelter for the displaced, Satan's chosen spawn. By the way, I came upon a documentary, and it's a historic compilation going back to the 13th century. It's on BitChute, BitChute, BitChute. It's called Khmelnytsky. It's a Cossack uprising, Jews of the Polish-Lithuanian Empire. The Khmelnytsky Cossack uprising, Jews of the Polish-Lithuanian Empire. It is absolutely astonishing. The origins of this modern day banking fraud, legalized fraud, extortion, racketeering, they've actually documented it back in the mid 13th century. They granted them, the Polish aristocrats brought these tax farmers, they call them, these Jewish usurers that were being driven out of other countries, such as the German principalities. Anyway, the leasing, they were actually given the power to tax churches. Any kind of a church activity would be taxed. They would have to pay a fee. Only the Jews could get the leases on these properties. So it all goes back to that. And
By the way, Ms. Haverback, after she was found guilty on December 4th of 2020, she was sentenced to a year, but she is appealing that, and I don't have anything on her appeal. But she already has spent 2 years in jail at 89 to 91 years old.
How about that?
Go ahead, Fred. Yeah.
Yeah.
So we have that, and then we have, you mentioned, or someone mentioned, Bill Gates. And by the way, Patton vehemently opposed. He resigned. He would not evict the German citizens from their homes. And that's, I'm sure, a big reason why he was murdered, because that was a big slap in the face, and they knew he wanted to go in and take out the Russian Bolshevik Jews. He finally figured it out. So the way I see it, guys, is, look, the Federal Reserve Act, any legislative act proposal, for it to be a valid, authentic legislative act mandate, there is a legal quorum that is required for its authorization as a statutory mandate, so-called law. And what I learned from one of the original families, a guy by the name of Bob Plimpton, who wrote a book, you can probably find it on the internet, You Were Born Free, Now You Can Live Free. You Were Born Free, Now You Can Live Free. Anyway, I had some conversations with him, and in that book also, he documents that there were only 12 senators present on the 23rd of December in 1913, right? So I don't believe 12 senators would have constituted an authentically valid legal quorum required for an authorized legislative act. And that's something that needs to be investigated. That's a whole scam, obviously. And all this crapola about Bitcoin and all these other these fraudulent cyber currencies, what we should do is look at Article 1, Section 8, where it mandates nothing but gold and silver coinage. And I'm pretty sure JFK got onto that, and in June of 63, by executive order, began to authorize the reestablishment of a essentially public central bank. Okay? Silver certificates reestablished, maybe. that's what we got to get back to. And by the way, I want you guys to go contact your state senators and direct them to assist you in acquiring your original long form birth record, record of live birth with your soul print on it. See what happens with that. Because what I've learned from now well educated people is that document is the foundational document for what's called the Sesti Qui Vi Trust. And it's the Sesti Qui Vi Trust, your name in all caps, that is the it's a monetized surety collateral for all of this FRN crapola. And on that document is a serial number, and you can contact a brokerage firm and ask them for the present value.
That's fascinating. I still have mine, too.
Fantastic.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2 today.
Hey gang, Patrick Slattery here with an important message that is pertinent to anyone who shops for groceries, eats food, or just has an inquisitive mind like myself. What I'm about to introduce you to is a segment of our food culture that has been kept so low profile to the American public that virtually no one is aware of how dominant it is on our refrigerator and cupboard shelves. What I'm talking about is the kosher certification industry and a new app, KosherTified, that delivers a comprehensive education on all aspects regarding this little-known practice. After reviewing this app, I found that it is useful for practically anyone who purchases food, regardless of their religious faith or identity. Its database of products not kosher certified is a win-win convenience for all food-conscious people. So why not check out thekosherquestion.com or click on the link at nationalbugle.com and see how modifying your grocery shopping with the KosherTified app can make a huge difference for your future.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AROutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more, plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AROutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AROutfitting.com.
And we're back, folks. Final segment of the alternative media. Richard Carey with co-hosts Jeremy from Kentucky and William Rapillum. And we've had Wolverine Fred on the line. Wolverine, if you're still here, do you briefly have some final thoughts for us?
Yeah, one last thing. There's a brilliant presentation by Dell Bigtree at BitChute, and it's called In Harm's Way. It was last Sunday the 13th. In Harm's Way, at the 90-minute mark, he interviews a a Dr. Mike Yeadon, who is a former Pfizer R&D guy with respect to vaccines. It's absolutely phenomenal, and Yeadon totally eviscerates this phony, corony, cavoni, baloney, masconi, Fauci, Falcioni, Scamzoni, okay? By the way, lastly, when Lorraine Day was interviewed by Andrew Carrington Hitchcock on the 11th of May, at the end of the interview, there's a photograph she presents of Gates. There's a rabbi on each side of him holding his hand. You know, these rabbis, this is Talmudic Kabbalah voodoo rituals they go through. So, you know, he's one of their chosen spawn to direct all this, along with Fauci, who I'm sure is an Italian Franken Swine Slimestein, you know, operative. So, hey, guys, have a great day.
All right, thank you for the call.
Wonderful. No, that was such a great call. Thanks. Thank you, Wolverine. Can't thank you enough. You educated me on quite a few things, too, and then reiterated a lot of points, too, like about the Federal Reserve and also about and how they just did it when everybody was out for Christmas. You know, snuck it in there. Absolutely true. And I pulled up that video in harm's way, and I'm gonna watch that. That should be really interesting. Yeah, Mike Yeadon, the former CEO of Pfizer, is who he mentioned. So it's not just he's been speaking out against all of this global bioterrorism that's taking place right now against all of humanity.
Well, thank you so much, William, for being on with us. We have about a minute left. Jeremy, do you have any final thoughts, sir?
Well, you know, he had mentioned Andrew Hitchcock. Andrew Carrington Hitchcock, of course, has the book Synagogue of Satan. I listened to it one day at work on audio. Does an excellent job of documenting just the ages and ages of Jewish power. And he covers a lot of that, too, when you get up into the early 20th century. So I highly recommend that book. That's very good. I'm not totally on board with the Khazarian theory, but I'm open-minded. But as far as documenting, like, whoever these Jews are, they're calling themselves Jews. And he does a great job of documenting how they've gotten into power throughout the ages.
Okay, well, yes, those are all great references. Well, I guess we're ready to wind down here, and
thank you. We're ready to go get our 40s, celebrate some Juneteenth, right?
Absolutely. Yes, Juneteenth, it's been a long time coming, and all the SJWs can cheer. What a way to close the show. Well, thanks so much, Jeremy.
Thank you.
And please support RBN, folks, if you haven't. This is an ideal time. We could really use the funds right now. So please reach out, give your support, and we will speak again soon. Cheers.
It's happening, ladies and gentlemen. We here at RBN are working with FrontSight Firearms Training Institute to bring our audience the best in combat, tactical, and defensive firearms training. Whether you're a private citizen who is new to firearms, or you have a concealed weapon permit, and want a level of training that surpasses what you've received from your local gun range, FrontSight provides priceless education and skills taught by seasoned law enforcement, military, and private citizen instructors to levels that far exceed law enforcement and military standard. With nearly a million responsible citizens trained from every town, city, and state from across the United States, Front Sight has bolstered the Patriot movement to a whole new level. Contact Dan Sutterfield by phone at 573-762-2356 or 573-465-2356 or shoot him an email at domedan, domedan@hotmail.com. This is a limited time opportunity. Don't miss it.